Well, good morning again. Glad that you braved it and came this morning. Glad you're here worshiping with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you are here. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that's got a blue stripe that says guest, and would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to, but would love to meet you. I'll be in the foyer down here at this end after the worship service, and would love to greet you and get to know you. And as Billy said earlier, next week I'll be in the fellowship hall at 9 o'clock. We have child care, and it will be what we call discovery, and we'll be talking about the church, and you can have more information, getting to know one another a little bit better. So I hope you'll join us for that. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we'll set this up a little bit. Now we know, and Billy alluded to it in his prayer time this morning, that the time that the Israelites spent in the wilderness, and there was that 40 years, there was a lot of whining, okay? Any Christians, would we ever whine about stuff? God, why didn't you just do this, or why won't you do that? Well, there was a lot of whining for those 40 years. And one of the things where they were hungry. The Lord provided manna, which was, it's interesting. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. And he provided quail for them to eat. And what's interesting is he provided it for one day. One day. So what they had to do for tomorrow? And to trust God that God would do it again. So there's that trust factor. So that's kind of setting the stage for the historical stage here. Now, John 6, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And after that, the crowd, we pick it up in verse 28. They, speaking of the crowd who had been there when he fed, they asked him, "What must we do? What must we do to do the works God requires?" Now, see, they're still in this mode of them doing something. You shake your head if you hear what I'm saying. Them doing something. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this." It's not to do something. Jesus said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Hello? Is this on, Artis? Everybody getting that? It's not works. He said, believe. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And you can find that in Exodus 16. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven." I love that. I love that. It wasn't Moses. "But it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down." The bread of God is a he. Did you know that? "It is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." They still don't get it. They're still thinking in physical senses. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Skipping over to verse 48. He says, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. I say this all the time when we go and pass out turkeys on Thanksgiving. Those turkeys will be eaten and gone. So we're not just taking one meal. We're taking Jesus. Because what we put in our stomach is temporary. They had manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Where do you think Jesus came from? You think maybe he came down from heaven? I think he said three times here. "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and we know you're here. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak to us the truth and power and authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. So continue the sermon series today that we started last week. The Lord is my portion. You know, we require certain things to live. And we require, last week we talked about that God is the breath of life. We require air. Today we're going to be talking about He is the bread of life. And that is the wrong slide there, my friend. But that's okay, Ben. That was the reminder. You can go watch that one on the website. It's okay. The Lord is my portion. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And so, I know not all of you are football fans, but did you know that basically every sport in the world has come to a stop? Did you know that? And that affects, think about that. It doesn't just affect people that want to watch sports on TV. Think about the hot dog vendors at the stadiums. Think about the ushers, the parking attendants. I mean, that's a big thing. Every sporting event in the world has stopped. And now, one thing that's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, I know most of us have given up on the Cowboys, but Dak Prescott, their quarterback, is negotiating a contract. Most of us know about that. And he has added something recently to his requests and his desires for this new contract. You got that for me, Lee, Mr. Ben? I saw that on Twitter this week. I thought that was quite appropriate. He's wanting $35 million and a month's supply of toilet paper. Cheryl and I went to Sam's was it Friday night? And there wasn't a stitch of toilet paper in the place. Now, I talk about the things, the necessities of life. Now, we've got a box of catalogs in the office that's a recycle that if anybody didn't make it to Sam's in time. Isn't that crazy? There wasn't a package of meat in Sam's. Not one package of meat. There was not one square of toilet paper or paper towels. The bottled water was gone. I mean, everything was gone. It's like, man, just seems as though, and I hope that us as Christians, I hope that we are keeping a level head and we're trusting in the Lord through this. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus being the bread of life today. Did you know he's more important than toilet paper? Did you know that? He is. I actually had someone trying to sell me a square of toilet paper this morning. And this is rude, but I'm going to say it anyway. And then I was promised that it had only been used once. That's what so. Oh, no, that's bad. I didn't say it. I'm just reporting it. So let's talk about this idea of Jesus being the bread of life. First of all, Jesus is the bread from heaven. Now, he says it many times in these verses that we read today. In verse 32 and 51, he says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. It seems like he's trying to make a point that he came from heaven. Now, what does that mean? And if we look back, sometimes when we go through the Advent season and we celebrate Emmanuel meaning God with us, it means God, Jesus, became flesh. In John chapter 1, you can read all about this, that John tells us that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God. Now, if you hear people say, well, all religions are the same and so forth, well, if we believe that, then we're not the same. Our belief is different. We believe that Jesus is God himself and that he came down from heaven and that he ultimately returned to heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father today. So when we think about this bread of life, we need to remember that Jesus came from heaven. Secondly, not only is Jesus God who came down from heaven, but Jesus is offered to all who believe in him. Now, some people believe in the theology of the elect, only certain people that God has elected to be saved. I personally don't think that's what Scripture teaches us. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Now listen to this passage that we just read today in John 6. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent." That's the work. Now, I've said this before, but our works, when we serve others, it is a proof that our faith is authentic. It is a testimony that our faith is authentic. It does not save us. Our works don't save us. Is this on? Our works don't save us. I've said survey that I saw a couple of years ago, and it was 70-something. I can't remember the exact number. 70-something percent of church-going Christians were asked the question, how do you get to heaven? And they said, be a good person, 70-something percent. I'm like, please come to our church because you're going to hear something different. No, we go to heaven by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not of our own works. And it goes on, Scripture tells us, lest the cross be emptied of its power. I mean, if we believe that we can earn our favor, earn God's favor and go to heaven by our works, why'd Jesus have to hang on a cross? Why'd he have to hang on a cross? But it's offered to all who believe in him. Now, this is interesting. If you go down a little further into John chapter 8, it says this. First it says, you want to do the work God requires, believe in the one he sent. And then in chapter 8 it says, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. We don't like to read that verse so much because it's basically, if you don't believe, it gets a little spicy. If you do not believe, Jesus says, that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. When we die in our sins, what does that mean? Sin is the punishment for sin is death. We die in our sins. Death is the result of that. Romans 3 says it this way. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. To all who believe. It doesn't say to all who are good. To all who earn it. To all who measure up. It doesn't say any of that. No, to those who believe. Jesus is offered to all who believe in him. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all in the same boat. But we are justified, meaning that we are washed white of our sins are washed as white as snow, that we are justified before God freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So we need to understand that this bread of life that is Jesus, it's a he. He came down from heaven to offer himself as a living sacrifice to all who believe. And then finally, Jesus, number three, Jesus, the bread of life, provides us with eternal life. Provides us with eternal life. The passage in 48, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, and yet they died. And here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, so he's alluding to, he says similar things at the Last Supper, what we know is the Last Supper. Jesus, he begins to say, this is my body. We're not taking communion today, but we will soon. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. And then he says, this is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. All who take of this will be saved and do it in his remembrance. And as Jesus begins to talk about eating his flesh, that's what he's talking about. We must participate in his death and in his resurrection. And there must be this participation on our behalf where we through belief, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, look at, and I've got these passages listed in your handout there too. Acts chapter 16. Now, Paul and Silas, this is after Jesus has ascended to heaven, after the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, and Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, when he found Christians, he either had them killed or put them in prison. And this same Paul encountered the resurrected Jesus, and things changed. He began to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. So Paul and Silas are put in jail for basically sharing the gospel and for healing folks and so on and so forth. And you remember the scripture where they'd been whipped and beaten and thrown into this cold, dark dungeon, and they began to what? Praise God. They weren't whining. Woe is me. Why am I having to suffer like this? They began to praise God, and the walls began to shake, and their chains fell off, and the jailer freaked out because he knew that if the next day, if they came and found these prisoners gone, he would be killed. So Paul and Silas calmed his fears, and they replied to him, believe in the Lord Jesus. There it is. Believe in the Lord Jesus, this bread of life, and you will be saved, you and your household. I love that. Don't you love that? It's like he's going to go back to his household, and this gospel is going to, it's going to be like a virus that infects his whole household. Amen. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Now, when we talk about being saved, that means we have to be saved from something. What are we being saved from? Our sin and death. Over here, outside of Christ, outside of faith in him, that's what awaits us, sin and death. But through Christ, through belief in Christ, you will be saved. Romans 10 says it this way, and this was written by Paul as well. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I don't know why that so many times the church, the global church, I don't know why so many times people can go to church their whole life and think that I just need to be a good person. I just need to be a good person. No, it doesn't say that. God's word doesn't say that. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and that's why I tell people, especially when we have some of our younger people to come and they want to be baptized, and you know, kids are sometimes shy in front of a big group, and I'll tell them, when I ask you, do you repent of your sins and do you confess Jesus as your Lord, this isn't an answer. I say, you need to say it. If you're able, you need to speak it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Man, I know I like toilet paper. I like toilet paper. I'm glad we don't have to use the Sears and Roebuck anymore. But I can do without that. But I can't do without Jesus. He's the bread of life that came down from heaven. He died on the cross for me and you. And I had a young man. I was asked back when I was about 20, 21, for about, I don't know, 8 years or so, me and a bunch of my buddies, we coached youth football. They called it Pop Warner back then. I don't know what they call it anymore. But we coached for several years, and our kids were, I was about 21 or so, and our kids were between 10 and 12 that we coached. And that was, you can do the math, when I was about 21. That was a while back. And now I bump into some of those kids, those 10 and 12-year-old kids, and they're like, "Hey, man, you're going to hear meet my grandson." You know, it's like, I'm like, holy cow. You got grandkids? You're supposed to be 12. But I got a call this past week where one of my kids, who is now 48 years old, one of my kids was struggling with alcoholism. I hadn't seen this young man since he was 10 or 12. And they asked me if I would go and talk to him, and I went and spent about an hour and a half just visiting with him, and I was just trying to share with him he lost his mom and dad when he was 19, and he's never gotten over, he dealt with that with alcohol, and he never had gotten over it. And I just told him about Jesus. And he couldn't comprehend. I'm telling him about the cross and what happened, and he said, "Why did he do that?" His name was Shay, and I said, "Shay, because he loves you. Because he loves you. He came down from heaven. He is our portion. He is our sustenance. He is our very life. And he came for you, Shay. He did it for you. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Do we know that, church? I'm not trying to minimize the coronavirus, but I think we've overreacted somewhat. I think there's caution and there's just craziness. And I'm telling you, Jesus is with us. He is the answer. He's the answer for it all. He's the answer for coronavirus. He's the answer for depression. He's the answer for alcoholism. He's the answer for broken marriages and broken relationships. He's the answer for it all. He is literally the bread of life for me, and I know for many of you. If you don't know him, I told Shay, man, you know, I can't accept Jesus for Shay, and I can't accept Jesus for y'all if you don't know him. But I can offer him. And I told Shay, I said, and Shay, he stands at the door, and he knocks, brother. He knocks. He's waiting for you to open the door and let him in. I told him, he's... for whatever it's been, 30 years, 30 plus years, I said, you've been holding on to this, trying to deal with this grief of losing your mom and dad and having nowhere to turn for 30 plus years, and the way you've been trying to deal with that is with a bottle. How's that working out for you? It just destroys everything else. He can't keep a job. He can't keep a relationship. He's a mess. His health. Jesus came down from heaven for all who would believe. I want you, if you would, just bow your heads with me. I pray now, as your head's bowed, if you don't know that Jesus, if you don't realize how he hung on a cross for you. Maybe perhaps for the very first time the Holy Spirit's prompting you and telling you that, yes, he loves you. I mean, he shouldn't have to prove it any more than taking nails on the cross for us, but maybe perhaps you've never received that truth. Spirit, move in this room, move in this place, move in these people. Help us to believe in Jesus, whom you have sent, who has come down from heaven for one purpose, to save us. Jesus, we thank you. I don't know why, but you have found us worthy to love and to demonstrate your love by the cross. And you are the bread of life, and death itself could not hold you. And because you live in us, we live. You have promised us eternal life for those who believe. Pray against fear and anxiety that's sweeping our city, our state, our nation, our world. Use it to your glory and to your purposes, God.